What's up, dudes? It's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Jared Stansberry, Rob Gray. It's the seniors. What up, dude?
My friend Jared, how are you?
I'm good. Sorry, I forgot again.
That's all right. You know, we need intro for our podcast, and I know that you're on it, mm-hmm. and it's going to be epic.
Yeah, we could get some input from the fanatics on this.
Are there any good? Well, because I'm still getting used to the fact that I'm an old man. I've reconciled myself to it, but. Just any good, sound bites that are like, yeah, I'm old, but, you know, those are always some jokes.
Right.
Could throw in there. Little old school tunage to go with your new school tunage. The one that I think about as this podcast goes forward, do we keep it as the seniors, kind of like the Big Ten remains the Big Ten and the Big 12 remains the Big 12? I think we do.
I think we have a brand now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a brand. At least recognized by at least 48 people, I would say.
Well, Brad came up to me in Chicago, and he told me that he is a devout follower of the seniors. I was getting on the elevator to go down to the hotel bar, and the doors open, and there's two Cyclones fans standing there, and his eyes lit up,
yeah.
and he said, "You're Jared Stansberry."
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's me.
That's me, yep.
So I love the seniors, man.
Did you blush?
Probably.
Or did you just kind of be like?
I never know what to say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, hey, nice to see you.
Yeah, I always just say thanks.
Yeah.
And then hope that they don't say that I suck.
Yeah, yeah. And if they say that, then it's like, well, okay. It's your opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe a choice word or two.
Choice words. We were just talking about choice words.
Yeah, we're going to have some choice words podcasts eventually, probably.
Yeah, once in a while.
Yeah.
Once in a blue moon. You said your son said one of the choice words?
He was playing his Xbox. And
what game was he playing?
Probably Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare.
Okay.
It's one of his favorites. And my daughter, who's 10, had to sort of tattle on him.
Uh-huh.
It's like, Daddy, Derek said the S word. And then she comes up and says, aren't you going to do anything about it? You know how kid, you know, brothers and sisters,
yeah.
you know, you got to get the other one in trouble.
Did you do anything
like,
about
yeah,
it?
It's like, we'll tell him again that, yeah, you know, you don't want to do that very much. Mostly because it offends some people.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we did. Okay.
He probably was listening to Dr. Dre.
Yeah. That's good. It's a whole other can of worms to open to expose him to.
As always, the seniors is brought to you by Performance Concrete Polishing. They make your ugly and boring concrete surfaces attractive, residential, commercial, manufacturing, anything. They'll make you look spectacular, even if it is an exterior surface. These guys are awesome. Check out their showroom at 11220 Aurora Ave in Urbandale, or give them a call at 515-202-6706, or look them up online at www.performanceconcretepolishing.com.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do it.
Look them up. Do it. Iowa State's on a tear on the recruiting trail. I just want to mention this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Not just football, but basketball just picked up a class of 2019, man. When I was a freshman in high school, I was thinking about how am I going to win my next national title on NCAA football.
Yeah,
She just picked her college, Maggie McGraw.
Mm-hmm.
Freshman star for the Indianola Indians.
That's, you know, but it probably ties into the how everyone's getting more serious earlier, and you know, you gotta, you know, and kudos to the staff for identifying, you know, a really, really strong talent. Excuse me, in getting out there early. That's, it is insane to think about it though. I was probably thinking about, you know, how in the world am I ever going to get a date or something like that, you know, and when is this going to happen or what is this person thinking? Yeah, but yeah, I mean. But true enough, you know, he's obviously been a high-level player, I'm sure, around summer AAU circuits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of the way you young seniors roll nowadays, and freshmen.
I did not make my college choice until the 11th hour. Not really the 11th hour. It was right around this time. So later than most.
Well, you should have had more offers. You were holding out for more opportunities.
I wish.
Where you were wishing for more opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we're not going to touch much. I didn't really tell you this, but I didn't think we would talk about that much about the game on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of it.
That's fine. Yeah. We went through it. We
talked about it a lot last night.
Yes.
If you want to hear our thoughts on last night's game, go listen to last night's season finale of the Cyclone Fanatic radio show.
Yep.
Lots of good stuff with us and Brent Bloom.
We should have a band. For the season finale.
That'd be outstanding.
Like a brass band.
Who? A brass band.
Yeah. You know, like a band, like a college basketball band. Maybe throw in a little bit of mariachi music or something, too.
Mariachi music. That'd be great. That is... Oh, wait, for the seniors? Are you talking about the seniors?
No, to close the... But I can't make decisions for that. I mean,
I don't think there is such a thing as a senior season finale. We should keep going.
That's true. We could have a special themed...
Yeah. We could take, like, 2 weeks off in the middle of the summer sometime and say, this is the season break.
We could do one from on location somewhere.
Cabo.
The camping trip. The camping trip.
There we go. See, now it all makes sense. Ledges. Mm-hmm. Let's do it from a ledge.
Yeah.
That'd be tough, though.
Yeah, well, we'd have to be near one of the... We could take a generator. We could tent camp, but we could do the electric... We could get the site with the electric hookup.
Yeah.
Then we could do the podcast there and annoy the other campers.
I'm sure we could do that in multiple ways.
Yes. Make it a mission.
But I put out a call for questions on the Cyclone Fanatic forums.
Yeah, thanks to everybody who...
Yeah, we got a lot of questions. So
we'll try to get to a lot of
questions. There's some duplicates, but, I mean, I feel like we'll get most of it covered pretty well. So, Rob has not seen any of these questions. I guess there's also some on Twitter.
Yeah.
That we should look at as well. I'll get those in a second. First one. Not sure what prom... This comes from Eric BJ. Not sure what Prohm did at Murray with regards to a press, but next year he may have Morris, Naz, Thomas Cook, Jackson, Babb, and Long at the guard positions. Would he try to speed the game up with more next year with a pressing defense now that he has the potential of having more depth?
That's a great thought, I think. I think every coach, well, certainly every coach has a press in their repertoire.
Or at least a preference.
Yeah. Or in situations where if you're down big or either. But sometimes teams that press, as long as they avoid a lot of foul trouble, are a lot of fun to watch. It lends itself to a fast moving game or it leads to it more often than not. That's an intriguing possibility. I certainly would think they'd be well suited for it. I mean, depending on what kind of presence, say a Malou or someone else can be on the back end of it, I like that idea.
You gotta have myself. You gotta have a good rim protector.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's
and they can't be guys that are gonna foul in that circumstance either. I mean, they got to be guys that can literally go straight up and be that protector that you talked about.
I think if they did one, it would be. I wouldn't mind seeing, like, just kind of a token press. Yeah, it's just meant to speed it up a little bit rather than... It's not even to create a lot of turnovers. Yeah. You might get a couple turnovers out of it every game.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, you're doing it to try and make them have to bring the ball down the floor faster. They just have to think faster, you know?
Yeah, not that flat-out press into the corner every time or right. Press at the half court or mid-court every time
and
all that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think we're going to talk about that kind of thing a lot on this podcast. So the next one comes from IA State for Life. Does George have any interest in being a coach someday? If not, what does he see himself doing after basketball? And then what are all three of the seniors hearing about their potential to play in the NBA? What is the next step in that process?
Well, I'll go first here. I know George has even addressed that in the past a little bit, how he probably would like to coach someday, but he doesn't want to get to that point. And he probably made a joke about it. He mentioned also, oh, I could do TV or do media stuff, and then everyone advised him as to what the pay would be. Well, you guys are all telling me maybe that's not a great idea. Fun, but, not like being a hedge fund manager. So he'd be well-suited for it. Student of the game, what he does. So I think in the future he definitely would be up for that. As far as the other seniors, we touched on this a lot last night, too, on the season finale of the Cyclone Fanatic radio show. But I'm with Bloom, and I think we were all kind of on the same page. I like his chances to get a really good look.
Mm-hmm. Whether or not he'll stick, it just depends on...
Fit.
Honestly, this all just depends on who takes a chance on you.
Yeah.
And then when you're at the summer league, who is it that sees you and they've got an open roster spot, they can take a chance on somebody and they say, you know what, that guy played well. He's not maybe going to bring anything to the table this year. Maybe he'll float between here and the D-League, but he's a guy that I think could help us out.
Yeah.
He's somebody that I think we should try and get on board and just see what he can become, you know, whereas I think a lot of people are hoping that he'll go play, but that's not going to happen probably.
Yeah, I think it'll take a little bit of time. But as I said, I mean, I'm convinced because of that guy's work ethic and how much he's transformed himself from early teen years to now. If he finds the right fit and has a chance to grow again, spur that growth in himself again, both mentally and physically, he's got a chance to do some big things. Otherwise, he certainly would make a lot of money in Europe. Abdel Nader's body type, athleticism, if he's more consistent with his outside shot, I think he's got a good chance to be in the mix. And I have a hard time. I mean, if Jamil had more offensive game, I would think that he'd have a good shot too. But at this point, I think he'd have to, you know, hang his hat completely on being a shot blocker and a rebounder and kind of hope. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to like rate their chances. I think they're all semi long shots to a certain degree. I mean, in terms of becoming a star, in terms of sticking, I think there's a decent chance for a couple of them. And you know, who knows? Guys change themselves. You know, who would have thought at this time last year that we'd be talking about a Bryce Dijon Jones being in the NBA?
Right.
So, I mean, they've all got great talent, and they all did a lot of great things for Iowa State. So I guess it's kind of a stay tuned sort of thing and very much a fit thing with George and probably Abdul as well.
There's a lot of recruiting questions, and I'll be honest. I mean, I'm working my way up on being more educated on the recruiting stuff, but that's still C-Dub's thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not really, like, it's not that I don't know, but I don't feel comfortable really talking, like, answering questions on it because that's not my expertise.
That's kind of where I'm at, too.
Yeah.
On a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, unless we've talked to people directly.
Right.
That's
C-Dub's thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I mean.
And he'll expound on it.
Yeah, he'll answer. He'll have a lot of stuff over the next couple weeks, I'm sure, where he answers questions, but. Yeah, so recruiting questions, I'm not really going to touch those. Sorry, guys. This one comes from Twitter. Brett Spurgeon, would Rob rather win $1 million or the Cubs win the pennant and lose in the World Series?
Ooh, I'll take the million. I mean, winning the pennant is nothing now. I mean, I've said this before, or I said it today for the first time, and I almost slapped myself in the face. I said now that Theo is done what he's done, he's put all the chess pieces in play and he's got it set up the way that it is, I fully expect that the Cubs are going to win a World Series. They are going to do it.
When?
Sometime in the near future. That doesn't mean
it's
this
gonna be season. A sad day for me.
Oh, I didn't, but good, can't you let him have one? I mean, the Cardinals winning, you know, sometimes after having crappy years, they win the world, you know, regular seasons winning. I mean, they do it so many different ways. They've done it all over the place. Let the Cubs do it once. The thing is, if they do it once, maybe it becomes kind of like my other team, the Red Sox deal, where then every 5 years, watch out, they're kind of regularly in play. But I can't believe it as a lifelong Cubs fan that I actually firmly believe that they're going to do it. So, given that, I can't settle for just a pennant when the other corner is $1 million.
Fair enough. What are you going to do? What's the first thing you do with your million?
I hope I didn't disappoint him either.
What's the first thing you do with your million? Buy Cubs season tickets.
You know, we'd probably do some shrewd investments and things to make sure the $1 million goes into more future. I've got two kids to think about, too.
As the elder senior. That's the obvious answer for you.
Yeah.
The smart thing. That's what I would do with my $1 million, Jared.
Yeah, I'd indulge on some things, but mostly that.
A lifetime or a year's worth of wheat-filled groceries.
Yeah. We all indulge in our own different ways.
After next year, this comes from Cyclone Spiker, 33 on the forum. After next year, we'll have a lot of talent leaving. How important is it for Prohm to use and develop some of the younger guys during the season next year, or do you think future transfers and recruits can be relied upon? I'm really struggling to read today.
Yeah, do you want to take this first or shall I?
Yeah, I'll start with this one. It's obviously going to be important for him to develop some guys during the season. But, you know, Hallis would have played, he'll have played a lot of minutes. You know, you'll still have Malou coming back. You'll still have Jacoby Long coming back. Solomon Young will be coming back. There's still going to be some good pieces there. Obviously, you're going to lose Monte. Donovan Jackson will be coming back. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be – I like where they're set up to be 2 years from now and 3 years from now,
mm-hmm.
to be completely honest.
Yeah.
Because I think they've got good pieces to build on.
And I think not only because of reputation, but also because of focus and, you know, thought process or philosophy, mm-hmm. they're going to continue to be a big player in the graduate transfer market.
Right.
And even the traditional transfer market that will keep doing what, I still say it was genius the only route, but the smart route and a risky route when Fred decided this is how we can get ourselves right in a hurry.
Yeah.
After, 7 years of real struggles. I think that will be continue to be a big part and should, and really probably should be for every program. I think that's a blueprint that as long as you do your quote-unquote due diligence with, mm-hmm. with the individuals and make sure that they fit right and that they, whether it be attitude-wise or whether it be, athletic-wise or all that wrapped together, I think that'll be a big part of it. But, to think what we were looking at before, it's like, oh, it's all this year. No, well, some of these guys and with the increasing likelihood of Monte coming back, could set the world on fire at the combine and could get a lot of assurances. But all signs point to it making sense for a guy. And again, he's not a 24-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a young guy. It's an intriguing team looking at next year and beyond, as you said, with some of those guys who are making next year's team an intriguing team.
I feel good about the future of Iowa State basketball. You can take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
But I feel good about it.
I feel good about it, too. The seniors concur on that one.
This comes from Mega Man X035. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. What did you have? You already answered this question for me.
Yeah.
I want you to tell the people.
It kind of depends. And I have to be...
What did you have today? That needs to be...
Well, today I was heading out the door for interviews with Coach Eli Rasheed.
Eli Rasheed's awesome, by the way.
He is great. He's great. So I grabbed basically a handful of good quality smoked turkey breast. Headed out the door, ate it pretty quickly, but I also had a little glass of vegetable juice to get some of those nutrients into me. Now, the problem for me is that I usually undo the good things that I do by having a whole pizza or something like that. So I can't quite convince myself that feeling good is a good thing. So I continue, it's like I'm pretending I'm a young senior because you can always roll with that. It's like, it doesn't matter. You bounce back and all that. I'm like a 50-50 kind of guy. Really healthy and then really unhealthy. And it just all comes together and forms this, whatever it is.
Fair enough. I had Apple Jacks and some orange juice.
Apple Jacks.
Yeah, while I watched the X-Files.
Mm. Nice. You got a nice shot of vitamin C in there with the OJ.
Yeah, definitely.
Was it real OJ or was it that Sunny D crap?
It was real OJ. Straight out the gallon from Hy-Vee.
Excellent.
It's
good OJ.
This comes from the same post. What will be the biggest visual change for us fans next year, as I'm sure we start to see more prone ball and less hoy ball, better half-court offense?
Well, visual change, other than seeing some people you were accustomed to seeing for a long time aren't there.
Yeah.
Not having studied a lot of what he did at Murray, I don't think there's going to be that much of a change, except when they are willing to run shot clock, it will not seem as sort of like, oh, wow, okay, now they're entering that mode. I think that'll be more well integrated into the whole 40-minute framework,
mm-hmm.
And it won't be jarring's not the right word. It won't be sort of like a, you're really noticing that. It's just part of the whole operation. I don't know if Virginia's offense is a good model, but, you know, they'll exploit, you know, I think what they'll do is not play that slow by any means.
Yeah.
But they'll look to exploit running. It won't be the goal to run and be fast all the time. It will be, we're going to do it when it's smart to run and be fast all the time. It's not so much an identity thing.
Yeah.
But a thing that they want to do maybe more than a lot of other teams, but not something that's sort of a be-all, end-all thing. And I'm sure I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on this.
I don't think it'll be that much different, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I think when people think Hoiball, you think running and gunning and chucking the three and all that kind of stuff. I don't really know what prone ball is. It's just good basketball.
Yeah.
They just play smart offensive basketball. And then, I mean, you're still going to see them use the high pick and roll.
Yeah.
You're still going to see him run in transition, run in the lanes. I mean, I don't think it'll be that much different. It'll just be different pieces.
Who's going to be your pick and popper? George is so good at it.
I don't know. Deontay Burton.
Yeah, yeah. He showed at times. I mean, better.
Can Malou shoot the three? I have no idea.
I believe he's got some range. But, you know, it's a whole different. You know, you move up a lot. I mean, we've seen guys that could light things up in junior college, even as guards, and then they struggle to shoot with the talent differential.
I feel like I've heard before that he's got some.
Yeah, he's got some range.
Some shooting ability, yeah. So, I mean, if he can shoot a little bit, obviously 6'9 with the ability to shoot is pretty nice. But this one comes from Twitter. Ted Flint, would you rather have a urinal in your bathroom or a bottle opener in your shower? I'm interested to hear what you have to say about this one, and I'm pretty steadfast on my answer that I have. And I want to know why Ted has his avatar as Milwaukee's best ice.
I don't know if he's trying to diversify his crappy beer.
That's awful.
Favorites, because, yeah, I mean, Ted works in mysterious ways, as we know. And
yes.
It's what, one of the reasons that we love and respect Ted Flint. I don't know. Bottle opener. I think I'd go with the bottle opener because, the urinal aspect is, you know, that's, you got to do a whole bunch of new plumbing and all kinds. I wouldn't want the headache of having the extra deal in there. And, I mean, unless you've got a giant bathroom, throwing the urinal, you still need the other, your standard toilet. You know, it's a space issue. And then the bottle opener would be fantastic, whether you're opening a bottle of something healthy from Wheat's Field or a beer, not a Milwaukee's best ice, whatever it is. Yeah, I'd go with the bottle opener.
Dude, if I have a urinal in my house, I know I made it.
So it's like a status symbol.
No, well, if I have a urinal in my house, then I probably already have a bottle opener in my shower.
Okay.
You know? That's like, I've got the biggest bathroom. I've got the man's
You've
bathroom.
You've got the best bathroom.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. If I've got a urinal in my house, then I made it.
Okay. Yeah, you wouldn't have to worry about anything else.
No.
It's like when people decide that they could go to an auction and buy a piece of art. They don't have a budget. It's like, that person just raised it to $44,000. Am I going to make it? Am I really going to make it 40? No, I'm going to say 50 and see if he'll go above that. And you just walk out, you know, hey, I got it. It's nice. I'm going to hang it in a guest room.
Man, yeah, I guess. all right, back to the forums. I don't know how to say this guy's name. Sigmopolis. What's the floor and ceiling for the football team's number of wins next year? What circumstances develop for either of them to happen? I mean, I'd say zero. And nine.
Yeah? I'm looking at a floor of two and a ceiling of seven.
Okay.
That's regular season.
I mean, if
the circumstances are a lot of things. I mean, can you turn that offensive line, who everyone will readily admit, is thin and in a lot of areas inexperienced. I mean, you lost some pretty darn good linemen. You know, Jameson Locke developed himself into a really good lineman. Brock Daigle fought through a lot of injuries. He was solid. I mean, other seniors among that group. I mean, that's going to be, to me, the key factor. Mm-hmm. Can the offensive line be workable? I think Mike Warren is going to run for yards behind any kind of offensive line, but he's going to truly be special and hit some of those personal goals that he has if the offensive line can be adequate. And that's asking a lot out of a lot of guys in a conference like the Big 12 who haven't been put to that test before. You know, and plus Campos's offseason surgery. You know, there's some talent there. I think it's sort of like last season. You can see that there's talent there and it's growing, but you don't know whether it's going to translate. And last year, of course, they couldn't win any of those close games or big games or games where they'd get a big lead, like the godforsaken K-State game. So that's I'd feel comfortable with that. I would not be surprised at all with the dynamic, you know, new energy that Campbell and his staff bring in, and some newcomers and some guys with another year under their belt, and maybe some more hunger built in. I mean, we heard from Gabe Luna, who sounds night and day. You know, when we talked to him before, even early on, I mean, he is locked in,
mm-hmm.
and they really like him. And DeMond Tucker is still, I mean, still soft spoken. But still building his game after being a newcomer of the year, and come out. And we know what Cotton Moya is going to give us as healthy and even more committed to health in every way, which I was especially pleased to hear about.
From Jack Cyclone, is the Sweet 16 a ceiling for the Iowa State basketball program? Seems like that has kind of been the barrier besides 2000, Marcus Fizer, Jamal Tinsley.
I don't think so.
I would disagree too.
Yeah. I mean, I can see historically, yes, you look mm-hmm. at that. And see, but I mean, for, you know, you've just got to get that right mix. You got to get this right match. And they were so close this year, too. I mean, without that all-out blitz where they didn't play well and Virginia played fantastic in the first 5 minutes, I think that's a straight-up game going down to the wire
mm-hmm.
with the Cavaliers. And, boom, we're talking about Elite Eight, or we're talking about them just losing the Elite Eight or going to the Final Four. So, yes, but admittedly with some very special seniors, with George being the bell cow of that group, but I don't think that's a ceiling. I think it's sort of right to perceive it if you're just looking at it historically, but I think they've got a chance to break through that ceiling and kind of create a new one for themselves.
Is depth overrated, Gunnar Clone?
Well, I think it's overrated when your guys, A, don't get hurt,
yeah,
and B, are all really well-conditioned.
Because
mm-hmm. I think when people talk about, oh, they can go 10, 11 deep without much drop-off, no team really wants to do that very much, or they shouldn't, because you need to be familiar. You need to have the – I mean, you've got a lot of different combinations there. And we see as we go through this tournament that there aren't a whole lot of teams doing line changes. I mean, and if they do, they're doing it because they have to, or they're teams that are specialized pressing and they're not in the tournament anymore. I think if you've got a good core, you'd like to be as deep as 8 solid guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's enough. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I don't buy into the 10 or 11 deep
yeah.
thing.
I mean, it depends on how you play. I mean, I remember some of those old, when you talk about pressing teams, some of those Tom Davis coached Iowa teams, they could go a good 10 deep, and they kind of did do semi-line changes, and it was fairly entertaining basketball. Their ceiling was usually the Sweet 16. So, yeah, I think we agree that it's overrated, but not, you know, not to be dismissed either.
From Days Wrap, chunky or cream and peanut butter?
I'm a creamy guy.
Me too. Jif.
I don't do peanut butter a whole lot anymore. We do the Skippy natural.
What?
Just means there's nothing added to it other than the peanuts and the salt.
Of course.
At least it's a brand you've heard of.
I guess so. From MJ Have Low 76, out of the newcomers next season, who do you think will make the most profound impact for basketball?
What do you think?
I think probably Malou.
Yeah.
But that's just because he's the front court guy with the, or Bowie, the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as of now. I mean, who knows who else they could end up with. But as of now, I'd say one of those two guys. There's so many minutes to fill in the front court, whereas in the back court, I think some of those other guys will play minutes. But
yeah, yeah. And be important. I think very much a guard-driven team.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I was going to say the same thing because you need to have that, you know, to be able to be a reasonably decent defensive team, you need those guys to be able to come in and perform on that end and give you something offensively.
Right.
Obviously, if Monte does go pro, Donovan Jackson is probably the impact guy. But right now, I think we're feeling that, and based on interactions with Monte as well, that it's more likely that he's coming back.
From Jay Hunzi, who will have more success under their new coaches next year, TCU with Jamie Dixon or Oklahoma State with Brad Underwood? I would say Oklahoma State because they've got Juwan Evans as a dude.
Yeah.
And Phil Forte is a dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking Evans as well. Although, you know our guy, Trent Johnson, I think he did an okay job, but as they're building themselves a more high profile and they're thinking about being measured, I think he would have gotten them turned around, but I think it was the season before last season where they really felt they could,
right,
with Kian Anderson and some of those guys, where they could maybe take a step up, and they didn't quite do that, and then they came back down, that they kind of had to make that move. But I think TCU's got a little bit more work to do. When, like you say, you got a guy like Evans who is, I mean, he's a potential Big 12 Player of the Year type talent.
And TCU, I did hear the other day, is in on a 5-star center that is available still, that Jamie Dixon had been working on at Pitt.
Okay.
So, I mean, that could change things.
Yeah.
You know, if he comes in and turns out to be a stud,
mm-hmm,
he's diamond stoned or Trey Bryant,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
maybe they end up being really good, but mm-hmm, I don't know that. So, from BC off clone, 125. What's the vibe like around the football facility this spring compared to last year? Just curious how the players and coaches' attitudes compare to the last few years of the CPR regime.
You know, one of the themes today, and Eli Rashid mentioned it, was new hope or new fresh start kind of feeling. And last year it was renewed culture. We're going to do things. You know, nothing's going to slide. It's this and that. So there was, an optimism last year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I'd say it's not simply an optimism. There's a sort of expectation,
yeah,
behind that optimism. What that translates to is another thing. Because, I mean, last year at this time, I was saying, and I do think the culture changed. Unfortunately, the one part of the culture that didn't change was getting over the hump, winning those games. Losing had become too much a part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And guys were too accustomed to it. As much as they wanted to change it, when the opportunities presented themselves, bad things happened.
Right.
I think this team, with that fresh start, with that new hope, with changes and understanding, you know, anytime you're forced to adapt to something fresh, whether it used to, like when I used to work out a lot, you know, muscle, you know, weight training, muscle confusion was one of the concepts. You know, you do things differently. You grow. You adapt. You get stronger. They've had a lot of confusion with coaching changes and the way they're going about practice. Everything is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's nothing negative that's going to come from that. You're going to grow from that. So, again, not sure what that means in terms of the standings, but I think there's an optimism that's backed up by something more than there was last year.
All right, this is a good one. And it comes in four parts. MJ Forsy, part one, where is Steve Prohm in 5 years? This is all the 5 years from now. Where's Steve Prohm?
I think he's at Iowa State.
Do you?
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if he was, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was elsewhere.
Okay. Now,
I'm not going to say
up or down.
Here's a crazy scenario. Steve Prohm kills it at Iowa State for 5 years. Mike Krzyzewski retires at Duke. Steve Prohm goes and takes over for Coach K. And there you go.
Hmm. Are there any number of scenarios that if he is killing? And I mean, and as a
that's I'm saying I hope I would want him to be here because that would mean they're obviously doing well. Yep. But if he's going to take over for Coach K, they obviously did pretty dang well too. Yeah. So if he's going to be anywhere else, that's the situation I wanted to be in.
Yeah, either of the scenarios we've described means that, A, they're still playing very good basketball if he's still here in 5 years, and if he's gone to a program like that in 5 years, then they've been playing elite basketball. Mm-hmm. So I think both scenarios are pretty good. Now, if there's another, which I don't really see happening, I think he's a good enough coach and a guy that adapts and is very well respected. You know, we heard that from Media Day all through the season. I don't see it going south without a lot of bad luck thrown his way.
I don't think Steve Prohn's gonna be coaching at the North Dakota School of Mines in 5 years.
No, like, or a Colorado School of Mines. It's one of my favorites. lots of good mine schools out there.
Where is Fred Hoiberg in 5 years?
Ooh.
See, now here's the better scenario.
Yeah.
Steve Prohm leaves to go take over for the Blue Devils. Fred's contract runs out with the Bulls. Okay, Fred. Come on back, you know.
He decides, you know what? Why don't I go back to Ames? As much pressure, as much as I put on myself in that role as the mayor and the coach, then after that, I'll put myself back into it.
I'm sure it'd be nothing compared to what he's doing right now.
But there's a different kind of pressure because of his familiarity with the town. I think he can be somewhat detached. The pressure is the game in Chicago, and the pressure is
everything.
Everything here. Ames, the whole thing, the memories, so many things. I think anywhere but Ames, Iowa is where Fred Hoiberg is in 5 years.
Okay. I can respect
and
that.
And judging by what's going on still this season with the Bulls, whether he's maybe
not, maybe not as a coach, but in some capacity he'll be in the NBA.
Yeah, because his mind is still very well respected. Columnist in Chicago, you know, who are they going to hit at when mm-hmm. the team struggles? The head coach, and rightfully so, I guess that's what happens. But look, his basketball mind, which was coveted, is still intact. I mean, he knows what he's doing. It's just sometimes things don't work out. And that doesn't mean that they won't work out next season, or maybe they get hot down the stretch here, despite that, what's been going on recently and throughout the season.
Will ISU have made another Sweet 16?
In 5 years? I think so.
I agree. I think the Iowa State women will have made a Sweet 16 as well.
That would be huge. It's been a while, and I think that they're, another example of adapting. The success that Fenley has had. I mean, nobody feels worse about the type of season they just had than he does.
Right.
And his staff, and it's not the way that they roll. And if they're not markedly better next season, and I mean markedly, I'd be stunned. Based on his and their track record.
Will Kansas have been knocked off their perch?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes,
within 5 years, somebody's mm-hmm. going to get them. You know, they might win four or five, but it's going to happen.
From Sneds 3, where do babies come from?
Oh, gee, this is a tough one. A womb.
There you go.
I don't really feel we'd serve anyone too well to go into too much detail.
No. The stork. The stork brings them.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I learned that from Dumbo.
What?
The Disney classic.
Sorry. Whoa. What are three things you've learned from spring ball so far?
It's so early. I mean, well, you know, it's crystallized that they're going to, you know, probably have the 4-2-5 as their base defense, which makes sense to me. I think you want as many D-backs on the field, particularly if you have a couple act more or less like hard-hitting linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
With the way the Big 12's offenses still are, unless there's a big push to go back to a more traditional pro-set style, or, you know, you want to have speed on the field.
Right.
So, that was more than hinted at before, but they're it's becoming more clear that that's what they're going to try to operate out of the most. That's one thing. I'll go back to that general mood feeling, too, where it's not like, yes, we're convincing ourselves that we are going to be back. We are going to be back, and consistently back, not just showing glimpses, oh, my gosh, look how good they are for X span of time.
Mm-hmm.
here they are. You know, win or lose situation sometimes. You know, they played a really good game, but still, you know, got beat by 10 or something. I mean, I think that optimism based on something other than just wanting it to happen is there. And I guess, you know, an aside, but the satellite camp they're doing with Harbaugh down in Texas is interesting. And, you know, how the SEC is on to, hey, we're not doing, you know, just the battles that are going to go on that way. It's interesting. And Rhodes got involved in some before, but this is a very high-profile kind of coupled deal.
Definitely.
But, and again, the real concern I think people have talked about with the offensive line that's justified, I think, is another takeaway. So it's going to be a huge camp for a lot of those guys that haven't done anything yet, but certainly have the potential to develop into a solid unit.
I don't know if you'll have a take on this one, but I do. And it's, what are your thoughts on cheap, high-quality jerseys? And I am 100% a proponent of cheap, high-quality jerseys. And I have something I have to ask you.
Yeah.
If I have the opportunity to purchase a cheap, high-quality Len Bias Maryland jersey, as well as a Larry Bird Indiana State jersey, do I do it?
You absolutely do that. You absolutely do that. Yeah, I'm a proponent of that, too, because the deal is even the really expensive ones are probably made in the same place.
Right.
So it's not like you're promoting, hey, they, you know, they paid somebody a decent wage to make it in America. No, it's still made in some faraway land for pennies on the dollar, yeah. You know, profit-wise. So, yeah, you definitely, whatever you can get a good quality jersey for,
Len Bias, especially, or Larry Bird.
Either or. I'm a big Bird fan because I grew up as a Celtics fan, and it was so much fun watching them when they'd tangle. I mean, some of those games. If you ever pull up on YouTube the old CBS Sports intros of those games, ba da da da, bum ba da, bum bum ba, Larry Bird and Bill Lambert, and then they'd show the chief Robert Parrish pounding Lambert and Lambert throwing something at somebody. Those were just great. And I mean, so many other Celtics-Lakers matchups. That Courtship of Rivals doc, if you ever watched it, the Larry Bird and Magic Johnson about their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was an
HBO. I've read their book that they made.
Yeah.
Or they wrote.
Yeah, the documentary's fantastic, and I'm sure the book is too. But, yeah, you definitely got to go for those.
What is Rob's favorite scotch? This is the last question.
You know, I think Glenfiddich is my favorite, but I've had a number of really, really, really good lesser-known true scotches that I can't kind of remember exactly what they're called that were just outstanding as well. But in terms of stuff that's readily available, I'm a Glenfiddich fan. But there's so many good ones. I mean, some of the Johnny Walker blended scotches, the higher end stuff, those were fantastic. I don't think there's really, the only really bad scotch is cheap scotch. That's something that you really get what you pay for. It's not always true in life, but with scotch, I think it is.
That's right, because you can pay $17 for a case of Busch Light, and it's going to be delicious no matter what. Always, every single time.
Delicious, yeah. I loved what that bartender said to you guys, by the way. It encapsulates my...
It was awful.
That's not... Look, that's
awful
not...
Awful take.
That's not being... I guess it is kind of being a snob.
It was.
It doesn't mean...
Like, I understand if you tell me you don't have my beer, but you don't have to tell me my beer's bad.
Yeah. I say to each their own. And, you know, we picked a little bit on Ted Flint's junior league version, because we know he's a big Busch Light aficionado.
Mm-hmm.
But he likes good beer too. I mean, look, whatever makes you happy, I think should be it. Even if it's cheap scotch, I'm not gonna rag on anybody who doesn't. Because that's like being, you know, hey, cheap quality jersey, expensive quality jersey.
Right.
To each their own. Take advantage.
The whatever one buying the cheap quality one is just the smart one.
Whatever you can stomach.
And you're willing to wait 30 days for shipping.
Yep, and whatever you can stomach is that's the crux of it.
We went 45 minutes today. We went long.
We did. It's a nice day outside until it's going to rain. I might get out and do something.
I'm going to work, watch the X-Files.
That's what you guys do.
Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, well, always a pleasure. And got some videos going up. You're going to write about DNs. I'm going to write about D tackles tomorrow. We got some, you know, talked to Kamari Cotton-Moya today. I've always been impressed by him, and he just continues to impress more. One thing we should drop on here is he said there was absolutely no truth at any time to the rumors that he was going. I mean, take that for what it's, I mean, makes sense to say that, but right. That's what he said. You know, people can say, well, he's going to say that, fine. But that's all we have is what he said. And he was pretty emphatic about it when Tommy Burch brought it up. So that's a good note to throw in on our seniors marathon podcast of the day.
There you go. Kamari Cotton-Moya was never going anywhere. That's what Rob Gray says.
Thanks for listening. That's what he said.
Oh. Thanks for listening, dudes.